I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Your all-day resource for critical breaking news, traffic and weather, and conversation about Utah's most important stories. Listen on any smart speaker, the KSL News Radio app, and in your car at 102.7 FM. KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
It's 4 o'clock at KSL News Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Maria Shalaya, sitting in today for Jeff Kaplan. A few clouds in downtown Salt Lake City. We've now reached 97 degrees. KSL's top story this hour.
Severe Utah weather.
A flash flood warning is now in effect for a small part of eastern Davis and Morgan counties this afternoon. National Weather Service says a portion of I-84 between Enterprise and Mountain Green could see flash flooding from now until about 6:45 tonight. As you head out tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, bring your rain jacket with you. The next 3 days set up a 50% chance of rain. In northern Utah, National Weather Service meteorologist Mike Wessler says it's not necessarily a deluge, but
potential for thunderstorms is pretty consistent, and it looks like increasing throughout the week into the weekend. Just because there's a risk of thunderstorms doesn't mean it's going to be in your backyard, you know?
Most of the action will be in the mountains, but you can expect the potential for a few storms in the valleys as well. Rain has meant flooding for some parts of the state, but it's also helping the streams and reservoirs in the middle of this drought. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards reports on the latest numbers.
Reservoir storage statewide now averages 55%. 30 of the 42 largest reservoirs are at below 55%. But the rain is giving some hope by helping the soil not be as dry. The state drought coordinator says we want to have wet soil before the snow comes. Otherwise, the snow soaks into the ground instead of building a stronger snowpack that can run off next spring into the reservoirs.
State officials say they can tell that Utahns are conserving water because the reservoirs aren't dropping as quickly. Despite all that, state reservoir levels are now lower than they were at the end of last year's irrigation season in October, 55% now compared to 61% in October, and there's still 2.5 months left in the irrigation season at a time when the water use is traditionally at its peak. Fire officials are thanking us all for reducing the number of human-caused fires over the holiday weekend. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt reports.
There were only 13 human-caused fires last week.
And that is fewer than we've seen during that same time frame during a Pioneer holiday week ever before.
Department of Natural Resources Fire Prevention Coordinator Kate Webb says they normally see a big jump in human-caused fires over the July holiday weekends, but she says we're doing a good job through the relentless drought and high fire danger. Despite the good news, Webb says we're not done yet.
It's a fire year, not a fire season that ends, you know, in 3 or 6 months. We're hoping to see the trends continue and improve even more.
She says we can't get complacent now. She hopes we keep up the good work. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
Will Utah schools have to put masks back on after the CDC's new recommendations yesterday? Here's what State Senator Todd Weiler told David Dujanovic.
The counties and the state health department can issue guidelines and recommendations, including masks in schools. And so the local school districts can follow those mandates and those recommendations.
State Senator Dan McKay says forcing kids to mask up doesn't matter when COVID deaths among children are extremely rare.
We lose more kids on playgrounds and in vehicles than we do with the coronavirus. And so forcing 675 or 700,000 kids in the state of Utah to mask up every day with a low incidence of risk to protect people who do not want to get a vaccine, Boy, that feels backwards to me.
The Utah legislature passed a bill during special session that bans mask mandates in schools. KSL's top national stories this hour. The White House Office of Management and Budget told federal agencies they must require masks to be worn indoors regardless of vaccination status. The office's deputy director wrote an email saying that consistent with new mask guidance from the CDC, employees, contractors, and visitors must wear a mask inside federal buildings. The White House reimposed its indoor mask requirement to staff yesterday. Lawmakers are still sharing their two cents about the CDC's recommendations. Republican Senator Ted Cruz from Texas says fully vaccinated Americans and lawmakers should have nothing to worry about.
We ought to recognize that science works and be grateful for the incredible innovations that led to the development of this vaccine. I'm glad I'm vaccinated, and everybody else here is vaccinated as well, and so we ought to behave like it.
Democratic Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia says he and his staff made the determination to wear a mask after reading the guidance.
It seems like we have a problem that is now getting more serious, and we need to be willing to take the steps to keep each other safe.
Health officials stress that while rare, fully vaccinated people can transmit COVID to others, masks can offer an extra layer of protection, especially to unvaccinated kids and adults. A big company will require its employees to get vaccinated if they want to keep their jobs.
Google is beginning to reopen some of its campuses, and Googlers, as they're called, will have the option of working remotely until October 18th. But Google's CEO telling his employees now when they return to the office, a COVID vaccine will be mandatory. They cannot return to work without it. Google is headquartered in Santa Clara County, California, which is strongly urging all employers to mandate the vaccine for employees. Alex Stone, ABC News.
If you got the Pfizer vaccine, listen up. The drug maker says a third dose of the Pfizer vaccine can strongly boost protection against the Delta variant. The data, which includes 23 people, has not yet been peer-reviewed or published. Pfizer's CEO said earlier today that its vaccine effectiveness drops 84% after 6 months. Ricky Meese, what's happening? Things slowing down out there, huh?
We are starting to see delays set in. And for those who are traveling some of the surface streets, not too bad. One crash called out in South Salt Lake, 3900 South at 200 East. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Most of us are in search of that perfect body, but there's one reason you may not want to have that perfect bod. Jeff Kaplan's going to tell us why coming up in his Minute of News.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.